Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm so excited to welcome back Mark Podolsky from The Land Geek back to the show. Thanks so much for coming.
Suja, thank you.
Absolutely. So you'll have to go back and listen to Mark's main show where he talks all about thelandgeek.com and investing in land, which is an amazing niche to be in. Today, we're here for another installment of our segment, Investing Shorts. And I'd love to pose this question to you, Mark. I know you started out your career as an investment banker and eventually transitioned to land investing. And I'd love to hear about that transition, why you wanted to make that transition, and what it was about land investing that was really compelling.
Well, the reason I wanted to make that transition was I hated my job. And I hated being micromanaged. I hated the commute to work. I hated not having total control of my time. Kind of a control freak, Suja. So I think having that burning desire of wanting something better for myself was why I wanted to get out of that, you know, job. I think what the job did provide me was a lot of different perspectives on a lot of different businesses and a lot of different industries. And so when I started seeing how different land investing was, I thought to myself, wow, this is really interesting because it has a lot of just intrinsic advantages to it over other businesses. There's nothing physical. There's nothing to maintain. There's nothing to protect. I'm just kind of shuffling paper and making money, and I'm getting cash flow from it without any of the traditional headaches that people have in real estate, like renters, rehabs, renovations, or rodents. So for me, it really sort of appealed as far as that piece of it. And then, of course, you know, learning how to be an entrepreneur was a whole other challenge.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. And I just want to, wondering if you could expand on, I mean, I know it's been like over 20 years or something like that since you've been an investment banker, but just, can you just expand on, you know, what it was that you hated about, you know, your job or, and not having control of your time, like maybe some vignettes or stories or just anything that can help us understand that better. I mean, so many people are there and I was certainly too at one point.
Yeah. I mean, look, I had a Dwight Schrute in the office. Number one, you know, there's always that Dwight in the office that kind of makes everybody crazy. I also had a long sales cycle. So I'd be working on a deal for over a year, maybe 18 months. And, you know, these are six-figure commissions. And sure enough, the quarterly numbers would come out, they'd be down, and the deal would explode. Maybe there wasn't a perk that the CEO wanted that was not included in the package. The deal would be over. And so to not have total control in that sense was just a terrible feeling. And I think those two things combined with the long hours, the stress, the culture, if you're an investment banker listening to this, you know, you're nodding, and I guarantee you're not an investment banker right now listening to this because you're working, is, you know, not great.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And you spoke, I think, last time about the Friday blues. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah. So just that feeling that, oh my gosh, the weekend's going to go by really fast. And now I have to be back at work on Monday and I have to fight traffic again. And I have to deal with the micromanagement of my boss again. And I've got to, you know, talk to Dwight again at the water cooler and, you know, make this insipid conversation and listen to this, you know, just horrible story again. And so for me, it just felt like Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
And it was just not the way I wanted to live my life.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I can completely relate. You know, I just, when I was working in commercial mortgage banking and in some other real estate related institutional spaces. Yeah, I think I felt the same exact way. Like, just like, is this really what I'm going to be doing day in and day out for the next 30 plus years of my life? Like, that does not sound like a good life. So, and you know, okay, so you were an investment banker, you were analyzing companies pretty much all day long, right? So can you speak a little bit more about the difference between the land investing business and the other companies that you were evaluating?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-cap.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Well, you know, a land investing business is just so different. And it's an actual business where, you know, investment banker, you kind of just, it's just a job and you're looking at numbers all day. You're looking at a company's P&L and balance sheet and then trying to match up, you know, what that company does with a private equity group's parameters, is their investing parameters, and trying to make a deal happen. So it's just completely different in that sense, where you just have one role versus when you have a land business, you're doing the deal flow side of things. You're looking for, you know, properties, 25, 30 cents to the dollar. Then you've got to go through the due diligence piece of it, then the marketing piece of it, and then eventually the selling, and then the management of that note, and then doing it again. But I remember going to coffee and with my first mentor, Ori, and Ori had sold his company for like $360 million to Experian. And I'm telling him what I'm doing, and I'm kind of bragging. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And I called it a business. He's like, stop. He's like, don't insult me. Don't call it a business. Don't call yourself an entrepreneur. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, what happens if you die tomorrow? What happens to your so-called business? He's like, who's doing the deals? Who's doing the due diligence? Because I was doing everything at that time myself. He's like, no, you have nothing.
Could you try again?
So basically, after that conversation, he started showing me and kind of pushing me, like, you need to get out of every piece of the business so that you're building something bigger than you. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, eventually, if you want to sell it, or you something happens to you, or you just don't want to do it anymore, you've built this cash flow machine that can operate without you. And so that took a long time. That took years. It wasn't like flipping a switch. It took years to create and develop. And, you know, I still ruin somebody's day. We use Voxer for team communication. I'll be, you know, taking a walk around the block. I have this great idea, and I'll break something in the system. It's like, oh, can we market here? You're like, oh, okay, fine. Let's try that.
Yeah, for sure. Yes. So when you say it took years, like it took years to build a system where you could replace yourself. Is that what you mean?
It took years to build a system, to build a team, to create the software, and just to figure out what I didn't know.
Yeah.
I really needed a mentor to help me with that.
Okay. Yeah. And you know, I know you started land investing about 20, 21 years ago. When was it that you started this process of, you know, replacing yourself?
Really about 2007. Mm-hmm. It was just actually kind of a good time to do it. I really didn't get crushed until 2010. I write about it in my book, Dirt Rich, what I had to do, but that's really when I started doing it, was 2007.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, maybe you could just touch briefly on, you know, what that the Great Recession was like for you as a land investor.
I was still profitable. The company was still profitable. What happened was 50% of my note income like went away. So
I had no longer afford to pay their notes.
Yeah. I mean, people were like, hey, it's between food or this land, I'm going to take food.
Yeah.
So, you know, having to rebalance that portfolio was something I never thought about, didn't know what to do. And I had what I call Parkinson's law of money. So the more money I made, the more money I spent. Mm. I mean, I had a big house, I had the big cars, I had a nanny, I had a housekeeper, I was out of control. So you lose 50% of your income, you can still be profitable as a company, but I had to go through that process of, you know, figuring out, okay, what's really important to me in my life, like in cutting these expenses that at the time seemed very important, mm-hmm. really weren't adding any value to my life at all.
Yeah, for sure. Totally. I mean, I think a lot of people go through that as their income grows, you know, there's like lifestyle creep, et cetera. So do you now like rebalance your portfolio, like so that you're
how have you learned to, you know, rebalance your portfolio so that you may, if something else like that were to happen again and people were to stop paying their notes, that you wouldn't be in the same position?
So I use a program called Profit First by Mike Michalowicz. Mm-hmm. So that really helps me with my cash flow management and knowing that, you know, should there be any kind of big downturn, I'm locked in. And then just fiscal management, you know, being smart personally as well.
Yeah, for sure. Totally. Very, very cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking, you know, telling us a bit more about, you know, that mindset shift and also just what it's like to be a land investor. So please share with the listeners now, Mark, how they can learn more about you and anything else you want to share.
Yeah, the best place to get me is thelandgeek.com. And if you want to check out a free course, how to double your money 30 days or less, go to thelandgeek.com/quickdeals. And check out the podcast, Art of Passive Income Podcast.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I hope you check out Mark, his free course and his podcast, Passive Income Podcast. Really great to see you on again here. Mark, we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Suja.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.